Welcome to the meeting, Aging. Can you hear me at the back of the room? Okay, great. Welcome to the Aging in OA meeting. My name is Ziva, and I'm a compulsive overeater and your speaker for this meeting. Hi. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, visual recording is allowed, except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording, and you might sign a release form. So anyone later that will share will please come here and sign their name. Okay. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA, Overeaters Anonymous, as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps?
I'm Corrine, I'm a compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 steps of recovery. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
The format of the meeting is 55-minute sessions. I will share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by either questions or open sharing. Again, the topic of the session is aging in OA, and I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on this topic. So again, my name is Ziva. Thank you for being here. I thought that because it's before dinner, after a whole day, I will be here with one person, and we will both age for 1 hour. So it's good to see a group of you. I came to OA when I was 29, and a few weeks ago I turned 69. So I think I qualify for aging in OA. And just to clarify, I don't have abstinence for 40 years. I am abstaining for 12, but I've been definitely aging even when I was not abstaining. So when I was thinking about this meeting, I wrote a few notes for myself just to gather my thoughts, because usually my share is very different in a way. I share more about recovery from relapse, which have been my story. But now I wanted to focus on aging in a way. So I wrote like notes about where was I when I was 29. So at 29, I was a straight, married woman, mother of a 2-year-old. Today, I'm a 69, gay woman, in a relationship for over 10 years, with 3 grown children and 2.5 grandchildren. So that's one little thing that changed. My dream when I came to program was just one: to be thin. I wasn't willing to do what people who became thin in the program did, but I wanted by osmosis to get thin. I was willing to drive across town to hear the best speaker, and then on the way home, I would binge and celebrate their recovery. But what I wasn't willing to do is to do what you did to become thin, which is sit through a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort, and not eating. I haven't met yet one person in recovery in all the years I've been in program that has been in recovery, abstaining, and not have times of pain, sadness, and discomfort. So that was the second thing. The third one is I didn't need a God. I didn't believe in God. And as far as I'm concerned and my family was concerned, there was no God. Now, if you heard me share in another meeting, then I'm sorry, but that's my story. I have to say it again. I grew up in a home where my mother's family perished in the war, and it was like 25 people. She was the only survivor. So there is no God. And that's how I grew up. And it was very hard for me when I came to program at 29 and I heard people, not a lot of people talked about God at the time in Israel. I joined the program in Israel. It was, you know, people were more, it was more like a club for people who have the same problem, but the solution was not as defined as it is now. So there was no God. And then the years went by, I moved. We immigrated here 38 years ago, and I continued to attend OA, and I realized that the people in program who have what I want, and what I wanted at 29 was to be thin. And what I wanted later is to be in a healthy body weight and to have a healthy relationship with the people in my life, with my body, and with food. And I realized that those people who have what I want have only one thing in common. They are different gender, different professions, different everything. The only thing they have in common in this program is that they are willing, just willing, to be on a spiritual path. There are many other wonderful, wonderful weight loss successful programs that you don't need a God there. But I know that those programs didn't work for me. So I read an outside book that, because it's an outside book, I won't mention what it is, but it was a book about a spiritual leader whose son was sick and died, and this challenged his whole belief. And this guy said that the only thing that helped him continue and move forward is to understand that when bad things happen, God cries. And that helped me shift everything. God didn't do the Holocaust. God didn't kill 25 people of my family because they were bad. Those bad things happened, and there is no one responsible other than the vicious history that did it, but it's not God. So that changed, and over the years, I became open to look for a God. And the God in my life today is the way I define God today is the little tiny part in my heart that knows better. And when I listen to that quiet, sane voice, I know that it's a sane voice. And my disease has a very loud, very demanding, and very unpleasant voice. So it's very easy for me to know the difference between what's God's voice and my voice. Do I always listen to God's voice? No. But then there is a consequence. So the consequence is that I've been in program almost 40 years and I'm abstinent 12. So that tells you, you know, the struggle. But I have a God in my life today. I rely on God. I don't believe that God does bad things, but I reach out to this God every single day. And my whole approach is around the spiritual program. Like recent as last week, I'm struggling with a health issue and I need a mini surgery next week to determine what it is. And my first thought was, oh my God, poor me. And then I said, why do you say why me? Say why not me? And I made a list of 17 women I know who had cancer and are okay. I didn't make a list of those who were gone. I decided to stick to the first list. But I made the list, and all I prayed for is that, of course, I would like the results to be negative, but what I prayed for is to be able to deal with integrity and grace and courage with whatever will happen. And I know that our body is a very, very delicate machine, and if you live to be older, something will get you. So I hope it's nothing, but I'm not in a place of panic. I'm not in a place of self-pity. I'm not in a place of why me. That's where I would have been at 29. At 69, I am at why not me. The list of 17 women on my list are ranging in age from 25 to 82. So why not me? And I hope that, you know, I'm not telling God, please make it me. I'm just saying, why not me? So anyway, so that's then. Also, when I came in 29, I had all the answers. I knew everything. I criticized your program. I criticized the way you eat. I criticized your God. And today, as I've been in program for so long, I know very little, and I feel like every day I'm learning something new. I learned something new from the people I sponsor. I learned something new from my sponsor. I learned something new when I hear people sharing program. I feel that it took me all those years to really gain humility. I had none when I came to program. Oh, I have pictures. You can pass them on. I just would like them back, so don't sell them to the Inquirer or to anyone. So in the pictures, what you will see is that in those 40 years, the only way that I could get very, very, very thin is for 10 years I did a very rigid way of working the program. And if that way works for you, that's amazing. And I have no judgment over it. But for me, it was 10 years of being in a state of punitive state all the time, white-knuckling it. There was no spiritual path. It was all about not eating. And I went down from like size 24 to size 4. I mean, I was so thin and so miserable. And now, you know, I would like to lose some more weight. And the way the 12 years that I've been abstinent, what that means for me is that I don't eat desserts and I don't hurt my body and my soul, which I did all the time. That's what it is. Somebody said, if you sneeze when somebody talks, it's the truth and only the truth. So that's the truth. And a little less than two months ago, I stopped eating bread. And because, you know, there are other things that are hard for me and they trigger me. But I'm not saying that I can't touch those things ever again. And, you know, I heard this weekend amazing shares, beautiful meetings. And I also heard some meetings that I took it personally in a hurtful way. When somebody from another group said, those who don't do what I do are drunk people carrying the message. So that was a little harsh. And, you know, that's my story. I mean, if, you know, it's not about perfection. I lived only in the gray and white when I was 29. I either was as thin as you'll see in the picture, or I gained 75 pounds. It was there. Now I live in the gray. Life is about the gray. There are a lot of days that there isn't a lot of excitement, and there isn't a lot of disappointment. It's about being one among others. It's about having a healthy relationship. It's about being grateful that my children want to be connected with me and reach out to me almost on a... Those who live far away, it's weekly basis, the close one on a daily basis, and that they want my closeness. Gray area means that my partner, who was married to a woman for many years before she met me, who never had children, is now my kids consider her like a mom. So that's, you know, it's the little joyful things of life now that I enjoy and I'm grateful for, and I express my gratitude on a daily basis. I will not say that I have 100% neutrality. I will not say that I have 100% neutrality with food. And it's interesting because, you know, I didn't have desserts. Somebody's talking on the phone? Oh, okay. It was weird. Anyway, I thought I'm like imagining it. But anyway, when I was 29, when I came here and I tried, you know, the abstaining and not abstaining, whenever I would break my abstinence, I would binge my brains out. I would eat to the point of passing out. I had to break commitments because I couldn't show up. I was so drunk. And in the last 12 years of not eating desserts, I feel like the obsession with that has been removed and I have total 100% neutrality around that. I can be in a party where there is a buffet a mile long of desserts and I don't even walk there because it's not for me. And I haven't canceled one commitment in 12 years. And I show up and I know that if I'm asked today to lead a meeting, whatever, if I continue to do what I'm doing, I'll be able to show up. However, I'm not saying but, because, you know, but cancels it. However, there are still some foods that I don't have neutrality and that I am better off not eating at all, and I am praying for the willingness to not eat them. So that's from the physical perspective. And yes, the other thing that is interesting, many people when they are young, they exercise a lot. I didn't exercise at all, but I prayed to God for years to just help me find a way to exercise that is kind to my body and that makes me move. And about 8 years ago, I discovered exercise in the pool. And I go now before work a few times a week and I exercise and I love it. And my body is like so happy when I do it. And when I can't do it, I mean, I miss it. That's God. That's a miracle. But again, at 29, it wouldn't fly because it's not enough. 3 times a week to the pool and you can still have a conversation while you exercise, forget it. You need to either kill yourself and I need to be sweating a puddle and like really know that I'm burning, or it's not considered. And you know what? Now it's more the gray. This exercise of daily, you know, every day, a few times a week for 8 years have been accumulating, and I feel stronger and I feel happier when I do it. And the last thing I wanted, how long do I have?
1:12.
Here? Yep. Ah, all together. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to say is also about meditation. Even though I was in a meeting and I shared, I hope that not a lot of you were there, but anyway, it's 1 minute. So I always thought, again, black and white, that you either sit for 20 minutes or an hour and meditate, or you can't do it. So I have news for you. That was my 29 self. Right now at 69, I meditate 3 to 5 minutes a day, every single day. I work in a very difficult job, and before I need to see a client, I close the door and I say, God, make me a channel of kindness and love and help me listen to that person with an open heart. It takes less than a minute. It takes 40 seconds. And some of you might say, what is that? I mean, 3 minutes, 40 seconds? You know what? It changed my life. So it's not about the big numbers. It's not about, you know, the black and white. It's about learning to live in the gray. Also, when you age, you have gray, so that's another thing. Learning to live in the gray and accept it, that's part of the deal. And my time is up. The meeting is now open for 3 minutes, either pitches or you can ask questions. Please focus either your share or your question on the topic of aging in the program and limit your share to 3 minutes. The session will end at 5:55. Yes? You want to share or ask a question? Then you can come here.
Hi, thank you for your share. I just wanted to talk about aging because I started the program in 1981. I was 10. No, I'm just kidding. And And that doesn't mean I was abstinent through the whole thing. This round, I have like 11 years of abstinence. But recently, 10 months ago, I just was miserable. My head was not sober. And I was just, everything was bothering me. I was irritable about everything. And I was noticed I was putting on some weight, even in my abstinence. And I realized my abstinence had to change. And so it did. By the grace of God, obviously, because in my wildest dreams ever did I think I could do no flour, no sugar, no agave, no honey, all that stuff, because that was just not possible, like literally not possible. And it's been possible. So I'm super grateful for that. But I just want to talk about the aging thing. So about 10 months ago, because I was so upset, I called a eating disorder clinic, which I've never gone to one before, but I was like, come on, let's just do this 24/7 and get it out of there. And I aged out. They told me, nope, you're too old. Yep. And I was like, wait, what? So I did what I do through all those years, is I started working the steps harder and, the usual stuff. And it works. And you'd think after all those years, I'd have so much recovery, but I don't. I just don't. I mean, I have recovery. Thank God. I'm not bulimic at the moment today, and I'm not eating compulsively today. And I have, three kids, a grandchild, and a husband for 40 years. And things are good. And is my 3 minutes up? I feel like it is. Okay. Oh, a minute. Wow, that went so slow. I still have the negative thinking and stuff, but it's so much better. And I'm not oblivious to it anymore. I'm not like a bull in a china shop just running around thinking I'm so swell. Now I know how horrible I am. And I'm just kidding. I'm not. I'm good. I'm a good person. I try my best. And that's different. That's just different. And what else? Oh, I wanted to say something else about aging in the program, which is one of the best things about the program for me, is in 81, I met people that I could talk to in an honest way. Like I could walk in and go, I'm so angry and I want to spit on the floor about this person, and they would be like, we love you. And they'd say, Dawn is so great. It's too bad she's so crazy. And they loved me anyway. And these are my best friends now, like through all these years. And I cannot believe it. I mean, I love the program. I don't know what I would have done without it.
Thank you.
Can you please sign up?
Yes, after Shabbos.
What?
Yes, after Shabbos.
Okay. Yes.
Hi, my name is Chuck. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm 77 years old. I have no fear of death. I came into the rooms 5 years ago, and like most of you, for 50 years I fought this disease. I knew why I was eating. It was manifesting itself all my life. The reason I was overeating was because at 7 months pregnant, my mother died. If you want to believe some of my family, it's because her mother poisoned her in an attempt to abort me. I was saved, she was not. That resulted in my dad disappearing, me being tossed from one house to another. But for the first 17 years of my life, never once did I hear I was wanted or loved. Just the opposite. That developed a huge resentment. I hated my childhood. I managed to get out of the household, go to college on an athletic scholarship, and I was completely lost, did nothing to further my own education except goof off. And the draft got me. I was opposed to the Vietnam War, but I was drafted anyway, sent to Vietnam. One out of seven people who were sent to Vietnam actually saw the kind of combat I'm talking about, shooting at each other rather than lobbing a shell from 17 miles away or being in a support job. I was one of those lucky one out of seven. 8 years in the eight months in the jungle, I managed to survive until my last day. I get shot, spent 2 years in the hospital, 30 operations later, 42 years of pain. I had a big resentment about that, too, and I ate my way through my life with that. So here I am. 5 years ago, I got into OA, and when they read our invitation to you that the reasons for our illness are unimportant, my ears burned and my life changed. I took to it immediately. The weight went off. The healing began, and I am so grateful. And I say I have no fear of death. I don't. Except my one haunting fear is that I die, but I'm still conscious, and I'm only a breath or two away, even though I'm not breathing. And I've been pronounced dead, and the EMT is there to pick me up, and they pick me up and put me on the gurney to take me to the morgue, and they say, "God damn, this is a heavy one." Then I die. That's my fear of death. That's gone. No fear of death. Thank you.
Would you please sign?
Thank you. I'm Peter, compulsive overeater. Thank you, Ziva. I'm 55. I came in at 18, so I've been here a little over 36 years. I've got 14 years abstinence. I had 14 years of abstinence, took a little break. Now I have 14 years of abstinence again. You know, I was very curious about this because I've literally grown up in OA, meetings on a weekly basis for almost that entire time. This was not what I didn't expect to be here at 55. I'm so glad I'm here. I came in here because I was crazy about food, body image, everything else. You know, and I tried to quiet the mind, tried to get abstinent. And, you know, there's one thing we don't tell young people or people new in the program. I don't care how much program you do. The head is not going to quiet down in your 20s the way it does in your 50s, period. I was trying so hard to get 20 years of recovery when I was 20, you know, being in the program 3 or 4 years, and I just couldn't understand why I had no peace of mind. This takes a while, but when it does take, it's absolutely amazing. I am at peace in a way that very few other people in my life at this stage of their lives are at peace. And I'm more grateful for that than anything else. There are things in my life that are not settled, things that are not going the way I want them to go. And that's fine because I love my life. And that is, and I'm in love with the recovery that I found in OA. And that's why I still show up here so many years later. I'm so grateful for it. And I think the thing is that when I look at people in the program that have been coming to meetings for 20 years, they've been working the program, there is a peace and a serenity and a certainty that I don't see anywhere else. I love myself today. I know who I am. I know the things I'm good at. I know the things I'll never be good at. And that's fine. And I could only get that through being here and being abstinent. And you know, I don't know if I'm going to be here in another 36 years. I hope I am. But it is a wonderful, wonderful journey. Yeah, things change. You know, I've put on about 5-10 pounds. I stopped running marathons. I was running marathons for years. And I just got, you know, I was like, I'm tired of this shit. You know, get to mile 20. I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And then, you know, I started running slower each marathon. I just didn't enjoy it. So I stopped, you know, so not running, you know, 30 miles a week, you know, now I'm running 10, 15 miles a week. I still love it. A little weight. And then, you know, things change as you get into your mid 50s, the metabolism slows down. And you know what? That's fine. You know, I have a food plan. I have a sponsor. There's a path. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
My name is Lorraine. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Well, since everybody's been telling their age, two guys behind me, I am 71 years old. I came to my first OA meeting when I was about either 19 or 20 years old. By the time I I had to go out and do a little bit more research into my disease and didn't come back and stay until I was 24. So I've actively been working the program for 47 years. So let me think. You know, when I came here, I mean, I feel like listening to other people's stories, there's a reason why we chose a substance to try to avoid those feelings. My parents had both passed away by the time I was 21. And, you know, I was lost. I just was, I needed some guidance, some direction. And I had been left as a guardian to a younger sister who was 12. And I had a younger sister also who was a year younger than I was. And, you know, I binged, you know, after my mom died, just in a lot of pain and not really knowing where to go. But, you know, somewhere along the way, I had heard somebody in OA tell their story. It wasn't at a meeting. She was just talking to a few of us. And I thought, boy, she was talking gut-level feelings. And I thought, wow, you know, I'd never heard anybody talk like that. And I wanted to be around that. I wanted to be able to talk like that or just listen to that. So I went looking for her when I was really desperate, and she wouldn't answer her door or whatever. But anyway, I found OA again. And, you know, by the time I'd been here a little bit, I listened to people, and I thought, well, I had really trust issues, and I thought, well, just my luck, I'm going to get, you know, hooked on OA, and I don't see anybody 81 years old here. What am I going to do when I'm 81? And they said, people told me, don't worry about that. Just think about today. Well, I was 24 years old, so I thought, okay. It sounded like a good idea. You know, what I've learned in a nutshell in OA with all these years is how to cope. You know, I had no coping mechanisms in those days. Luckily, I was just really, I mean, how I cope with my mother's death, I went to Mass every day. You know, I was holding God's hand all throughout the way. And since, you know, getting abstinent and being abstinent hasn't protected me from life, you know, I still have to, life has happened. My daughter died when I was about age 50. She was killed by some people that she thought were friends. But, you know, at least I couldn't stop that event, but I was able to cope with it. You know, I had coping skills by that time. And I thank God for that, and I thank all of you for your support and just for listening. I've always had a place to go where people were willing to say, come on, say what's in, say what's happening. Thank you.
I'm Angie. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Angie.
This feels so close to everybody. When I got here, I was 31, and I thought I was old. That was in 1978. And I'm 72, and sometimes I think I'm young. And I truly love my life today. I've had a life beyond my wildest dreams. Been happily married since since 2003. That was a really horrible area of my life. I had a career I never dreamed I would have. I wouldn't have ever thought I wanted it or could ever do that. And I worked my way up into a management position with a bunch of attorneys because I didn't tell. I was telling this woman I was mentoring one day. I said, you know what? The secret of my success is I didn't tell people to F off and die when I felt like it. And that's what I learned in program. You know, I got that job without a college degree just because I worked hard and didn't tell people off. And what else do I want to say? I did a lot of things I never thought I could do because I was terrified to fly. And I've been lots of places. And being old, aging, and in OA, the challenge for me is like, I like to think ahead a lot and plan. I'm a really good planner and everything. And at this point in your life, what are you truly planning? You know, I've been retired since 2003. Am I planning my trip to the nursing home? My husband's death? My daughter's failing because of her obesity? Let's see, there's my sister who's dying. I could think about that a lot. There's so my challenge is staying in the now. So whenever I'm upset about something, I say, I know that I have three things. Number one, come back to the now. Number two, practice gratitude. Number three, be of service. And then I realized that that was not only about thinking ahead, but about when I'll be like thinking about some niggly little thing somebody did 3 weeks ago. I have to stop and say, well, is it happening now? So I loved what's been said today. I do have a sense that whatever, number one, I need to live in the now and enjoy my life because who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And number two, that I do have the tools to deal with whatever is going to happen. The you know, if something bad does happen, I don't have to worry about that today. So I really am grateful for program. And it's not about, you know, I was still, after all these years, I was going to these things thinking about, how am I going to lose the last 10 pounds? Who's going to give me the magic answer? Blah, blah, blah. And then I go, no, where I needed to be was sitting in where they're talking about meditation. Oh, yeah, this is life. This is the answer. This is real. Thank you.
Can you please stand? Hi.
Hi, family. My name is Hank Nyer. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Hank.
And this thing about personal anonymity is the level of press, radio, films, and television, not in the meetings. Because if, God forbid, one of our fellows is in the hospital, I'm looking for Hank or somebody. I don't know his last name. So I tell people my last name, but I keep it at there. Thank you so very much. When I was 40 years old, a long time ago, a doctor said to me, Hank, if you don't do something about your weight, you will not live to be 50. I came in 7 years later. Any sane person would not have waited 7 years and realized any sane person would not have been told that in the first place. I had checked out Overeaters Anonymous, I think, in 1972, and I wasn't ready, and I had been a successful Weight Watchers. I was a lecturer. I lost 100 pounds. I gave the 100 pounds back plus another 100. I came in at over 400 pounds, and I've been blessed with abstinence since the day I started. November 30th, I celebrated 31 years. And there's a person sitting in the room today who told me something very, she was always beating herself up for starting over and starting over. And she said, her sponsor told her, if you do the same thing for 30 days in a row, then you start over. And that's given me some leeway, some grace, because I screw around with the food every now and then, but it doesn't go on for more than a day or something. And I'm honest about it with my sponsor. I have no secrets. I'm grateful to be a member of this fellowship. You guys have saved my life and given me immensely a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I remember sometime I was going to a meeting in the Valley, and Roseanne was there. And somebody said, Roseanne's going to be there. I said, who the hell is Roseanne? I had no idea, you know. And I went, and then I had moved to Maryland, to D.C., and Roseanne came and led a group there. And I went, and I had her book, Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, and she signed it for me. And I thought, oh, I'm blessed. Well, I found out what she signed in my book, she signed in everybody's book. So I'm not that special after all. But, you know, so I'm willing to help. People say, what's the best time to call? I say, before you eat. My phone is very, very rarely turned off because I can't help you after you've eaten. I can help you before you've eaten. And that's the way I work my program, one day at a time. It's not perfect, but it sure beats the difference. Thank you for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm new. I probably eat too much. So I'm 64 years old. I was a professional dancer in my 20s, 30s, 40s. I have been in the numbers program for 13 years, so I did this thing called the Tools Game for 30 days, and I got down to 138 pounds 5 years ago, and I'm in that place where it's creepy crawling coming back. So I'm now 155. Of course, I'm a newcomer, and I'm obsessed with the numbers because I've been in the numbers program for a long time, and I know that's one of the symptoms of newcomers. I'm going to just read my notes because I, at this age, I'm starting to worry about my memory. I don't know what to share once I get up here. My prayers are always answered. I've just been to the seminar before this and then this one, and then I have one more, and then I'm going to go square dancing. But I'm determined to get my money's worth because it's going to cost $20 for each seminar. So I was like, I got to share. My prayers are always answered. I'm beginning to see the miracles that I am given. God is that little voice in my head that knows better. Help me to deal with this with grace and dignity. I am angry when I'm in isolation and loneliness. I hate small dogs that bark, you know, in Ralph's. And I'm noticing that, just like, oh, someone's socializing in the back. Okay, I'm noticing that I get angry and irritable. I do physical therapy for a living, and I work in nursing homes and a lot, and that's where the money is. It used to be. And it's interesting that I'm becoming one of the same age as the patients. And my older patients, we say not old. I'm not old. I'm older. And I'm wiser. So it's interesting when I say to the 75 or 80-year-old patient, well, let's go in here. No, I don't want to be in there. That's where the old people are. So I feel that way. My body is getting older, but I feel young inside. And I just put this dating app. It's never too late to go on a date. But I'm, as a newcomer, I'm convinced that I have to lose these 20 pounds or 17 pounds before I can go on a date. I'm lying a lot less after 13 years and 12-step. That's like huge. I still lie, but it's better. I loved what someone said about don't tell people to go F themselves. That's harder, I think, for me as I get older. And I love, you know, like, shut the... whatever. I love the intimacy of 12-step. I can still teach dance. I believe I do Pilates, but I'm applying to a lot of these Pilates clinics, and I want to throw in a lot of modern dance. I'm actually a choreographer, and all the clinics, I heard that. I have to wrap up, correct? There are all these 20-year-olds who have, you know, 20-year-old bodies. So if I keep pounding the pavement, I'll be okay. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Can you please sign? You know, whoever wants to talk, why don't you line up here, and then we have time for four more. No, four times, yes. Tom. We only have time for four.
Tom, compulsive eater. Hey, everybody. Aging happens. You know, it's happening right now. I'm 59.25, and I consider that late middle age. So my wife and I are going through a kind of a weird trauma thing. Everybody who said the word peace, bless you, I have peace. I'm so grateful for peace. Thank goodness for peace. You know, peace in my heart, peace in my family. But we have adult children, and if you have adult children, you know, what can I say? My wife and I both come from very fractured families, and there's a lot of, like, you know, sort of like extreme alcoholic thinking, like people, like, you know, they get offended and then, like, you don't talk to that person for 40 years or that kind of thing. So, you know, when our daughter met this guy and then moved in with him and then married him, you know, we said we're going to be model in-laws. And we really reached out to this kid. And if our daughter was out of town, we would, like, go out with him, just him, to, like, a movie and dinner. And we did this for years. And we learned how to do this in program and recovery. And what happens when you do that is you get to know the person. And sometimes you get to love the person. You start to bond with the person. This kid who's, like, our daughter's 29. Her husband, soon to be ex-husband, is 32. And, you know, his father died about a year ago at the age of 59, at my age. And I've kind of been a father figure to him. My wife is, like, sort of a mother figure to anybody who's within her orbit. And I can tell this kid loves my wife, you know, because she has something that he needs. And, you know, our daughter told us that it's done. And, you know, and it doesn't even make any sense, and we're unhappy with her. But we have enough sense not to say that, and you know, we're struggling with the idea that we may lose this other person, you know, because it doesn't seem right to like have a relationship with like an ex son-in-law. I don't know, but it's interesting, it's difficult, it's challenging, and I'm going to end a few seconds early. Thank you for letting me share.
But I see that we only have 6 more minutes. There is no meeting after this. This is the last meeting in the room. So I just want to take a group motion, if you're okay staying, for those 4 people to... Okay.
Hi, I'm Pat Ball from Calgary, Alberta, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I've been in OA for 36 years. I came in when I was 42, I'm 78, and I think that I'm 58, except suddenly I remember, oh no, wait, those are my kids are in their 50s. I guess I couldn't be 58, but I feel 58. This program changed my life. And when I came into OA, when I first heard about the fact that it was about God, it was so interesting. The room was set up with a table, and I came around the end of the table and sat there, like, and the door was over there. And when I heard about that it was about God, if I'd been on this side of the table, I would have like run for the door. But I figured there were too many people blocking me from getting around the table, so I just sat there and waited. And thank goodness I did, because I heard stories about people that were facing really difficult life challenges, and they weren't eating over them. And I remember the time that I actually realized that God was always with me, that the whole idea of a higher power had been, I'd just been letting it kind of wash over me, and I didn't think that it was in me until the day I was sitting in a intensive care waiting room. My husband was in the intensive care, and we didn't know if he was going to live or die, and I was just sitting there, just keep saying the serenity prayer over and over and over, and I realized suddenly that no matter what happened, everything was going to be okay, because I was never, ever going to be alone. I was never, ever going to have to live out of fear again. And that changed my life. I changed my career. When I was 65, I bought a motorhome, and I've driven back and forth across the continent many times by my. People say, "Are you driving by yourself?" I said, "Never. No, no, no. God's with me, and my little dog." But you know, God, dog, same thing. Eh? And so, these people, they say, "Oh, I wouldn't drive by myself." You know, I was coming to. I flew to San Diego. I have 3 kids. I encouraged them to live in different parts of the world so I can go and visit them. And so I have a son lives in San Diego. And so I flew down there yesterday, flew and drove up here today. Well, you know, driving in L.A., it's like this big boogeyman thing. You people that live here that just take it for granted, you don't realize what it's like for other people to drive up here. But it was fine. I had my GPS, my God positioning system. God was with me. We had an excellent drive, and I was singing songs all the way up, and so it was wonderful, and I am so grateful that I'm 78 years old and vibrant and active and healthy, and God is good.
Hello, I'm Duffy, and from New York, a food addict in recovery. Well, 69 years old 3 years ago, and I was 69 years old 3 years ago. I feel very liberated being able to talk about age so freely here. It's wonderful. This is the first time I've spoken at the conference. I had no desire to speak before this, but I was 50 pounds heavier. And I was going downhill. and I had lost my looks, lost my verve, accepted being an invisible woman at a certain age, and thought, well, this is my life. I'm aging, and that's what happens, and I'm overweight, and I have a bad back, et cetera, et cetera. But I did not want to go into my 70s looking the way I looked and feeling the way I felt. So I found a program that worked for me, and I did everything that I was told to do, and I completely surrendered. And I only ate what I was told to eat and nothing else. And I lost my weight in a year, and so I have been, I'm going to be 73 in April, and I have been maintaining my weight for 2 years, and I never knew what it was like to maintain weight in my whole life. I either dieted or binged. It is so weird to be on maintenance. It still feels really weird to me. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. But I don't eat carbs. I don't eat my trigger foods. And I let my body decide if it's time to eat or not. It's very good being in LA and OA together, because it's different than I experienced in New York. I'm shocked seeing people with snack those protein bars and sandwiches walking around. It's shocking to me. I've never seen that kind of abstinence. But it is what works for people. It's such an individual program. But I do want to say that I have completely lost my cravings, and that food, that was the bell? Oh, that food is like a movie crop to me. Okay, movie prop, rather. Kim used the term, food is a movie props to her. And it had all the excitement has been taken out of food in terms of my trigger food. So it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Thank you.
I'm Alice, compulsive overeater. And I came in at 59 years old. That was 13 years ago, or 14, I don't know. I'm 73 now. But when I came in, I weighed over 240 pounds. I'd raised eight children, and I was, I just couldn't move like I could move, you know, before. And all of a sudden, I asked a friend of mine asked me if I would go at the OA meeting with her, because she was bulimic, and she was my eating buddy, and she never gained a pound. And I'm gaining weight all along. And so I said, well, let's see if there's something close to my house. Looked in the communique in South Orange County, and there was one right next door in the church next door to my house. So I said, okay, God, you know. And then I was going to another 12-step program, a couple of them, and my husband said, my wife's going to Fatty Anonymous, and because I told him I might go to OA. And so then anonymity saved me in OA. I still went to this Friday morning meeting at a church, but I didn't go to the one he thought I was going to. So he went to surprise me one morning at the other meeting, and he come home. He says, you said you were going to that meeting on Friday morning, and you weren't there. I was at a Friday morning meeting at a church, but not that church. And I got to tell him, I says, anonymity is really important in this program, because when you tell someone you're going somewhere to help you with your weight, they want to tell you what they eat, what they don't eat, what you should eat, what you didn't, you know, and it's too awful. So I just one day at a time, and within 9 months, I lost 90 pounds, and I looked like anorexic almost, but I just was following what they told me. I was so strict because I needed rules so bad. And so I slowly, I said, I'm losing too much weight. She said, just start adding. And so I added, and now I'm comfortable where I am. I'm comfortable today. I got to be in service, and that saved me a lot of sanity. And I got to go to World Service, to Regent, all these different places, all because of OA. And I never traveled like that before. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, my name's Constance, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for sharing. I was a little late, but what I heard was really inspiring. Yeah, so this happens every year at the OA birthday on the weekend that it is my OA birthday is a few days before. So Wednesday I celebrated, I didn't really celebrate, but I had 33 years of abstinence. Thank you. In a row without breaking it. And I just want to say, if I can do it, anybody can do it. And I follow the program to the best of my ability, do the work. But I want to say that I am not having, oh yeah, and like someone else said, I got abstinent when I was two. And I'm not having, thank you, happy, joyous, and free aging experience. I exercise and work out and do that regularly, and my abstinence is really clean. Like there's tons of crap, sugar or whatever at work, and I just say, oh no, that's not my food. It's just, it's not part of me. It's not part of my lifestyle. And what else? So, like, I was happy to be here today. This is such a great birthday, but I just came for today, and I decided, having more years of abstinence, what did I want to do here? I wanted to be of service. So I did two different service commitments, and I just bought the, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like the Spirit Something for OA at the Literature Room. And I just feel like right now what is good, oh, thanks. What is good is to work on feeling, living a more spiritual life, like focusing more on spirituality. And I love what someone else said about an effing something. So if I have time, I'll tell you this sort of funny, I think it's a funny story. But I can't use the exact words, so it won't be as funny. And there's a woman I work with for whatever who's really angry, comes from a really traumatic background, which is no excuse for her treating me like crap. And I've been struggling over it for a few years and just working on it, doing writing, doing prayers, all that stuff. But I would go to other people's offices and go, do you know what she just did? She is such an effing bee. And I had a lot of pleasure doing that. But I don't do it anymore. I'm realizing that how she behaves has nothing to do with me. It's like what you eat has nothing to do with me. I have my own life. Thank you.
It's now time to close the session. I would like to thank those who gave service. Tom, thank you for timing. And thank you all for your flexibility, for staying another few minutes. After a moment of silence, please join hands as we close with the Serenity Prayer.